Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, where I actually have an article up right now talking about Anthony Davis and his patience and how it's made him a more efficient offensive player. It's something you should definitely take a look at over there on BourbonStreetShots.com. Don't forget to give the podcast Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a follow on Twitter as well. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty easy name to remember. We're going to have a great podcast for you today. I'm excited. You should be excited. The Pelicans have won a game. They've got a chance to make it two in a row tonight against the Orlando Magic. But the big news is Drew Holiday is making his return Friday at home against Portland. He should play in both those games this weekend. Portland on Friday, then playing the Hornets on Saturday, both in the Smoothie King Center. Perfect games for him to kind of get back in, at least being on home. They're going to be tough matchups, obviously, but we'll touch on that. So the podcast today is mainly going to be about Drew Holiday. How is he going to fit in? How do they want to use him? Does he come off the bench to start? Does he start? What lineups are going to use? How does this knock other pieces into place? That's what I'm going to be focusing on today, with maybe a bit of a preview for the Magic game coming up tonight. But right now, it's really Drew Holiday is the big news, and it's wonderful for the Pelicans. So before I touch on exactly what he means for this team coming back, how he's going to help the offense, what problems he might fix, how the defense might even improve because of him, we want to say we're definitely really happy to hear that his wife, Lauren, who he was caring for, she had the brain tumor. It was removed a few weeks ago, shortly after they had their first child, Drew Holiday, his daughter. And he stepped away from the team to take care of him, and it's a wonderful thing he did for his wife. Lauren was a professional soccer player on the U.S. national team, won a World Cup, scored in that World Cup game. She's probably the more accomplished athlete than Drew is himself. And it's wonderful for him to be able to take care of her because she stepped away from her playing career for him so that they could start a family, so that they could have this child, so that they could spend more time together. She was the MVP of the women's league she played in the United States. And she gave up that career for this, so it was nice to see Drew do the same for her. Caring for your spouse. It was interesting when Gentry was talking about Holiday and him leaving the team the other day, and this goes to show you how healthy Lauren must be. They said they let Holiday do it on his own terms, that they wanted him to focus on her so that when he came back to the team, he could focus entirely on basketball. They only wanted him to come back when she was going to be fully healthy. So you know she must be doing incredibly well now if he's back, that he's not going to worry about her or their child, that he can focus on basketball. And just, if you're Drew Holiday, how nice does that have to be for you? You can focus on your job, on basketball, not worry about things going wrong, whether your wife and child are going to be okay. And I think all the Pelicans are going to be very excited for him. This should give the team a bit of a boost of energy. But it's wonderful to see that she's doing okay, that their child's doing okay. And sometimes things are bigger than basketball. And this is definitely one of those times. That aside, if you're a Pelicans fan, you should be pretty excited about Holiday returning and coming to this team and helping out and giving them a much needed boost, especially after a fairly big win for them against the Boston Celtics on Monday night. So the first question I've gotten a lot is he going to start? Is he not going to start? And I first want to say starters, don't exactly matter. It's more important who closes games, which lineups play together the most, what combinations are most effective. Umar Asik started against Boston, and he only played 13 minutes. So it goes to show that being named a starter and being the first guy out on the court doesn't necessarily matter. He wasn't part of the core lineup of that game. He was only in there at the end when the Pelicans were trying to defend against a tip-in with 0.1 seconds left, the only shot the Boston Celtics could have to try and win that game. So, even if he's not starting right away, he will be a starter eventually. But it's how many minutes do they play him during this kind of readjustment period, let's call it, and who's he playing with? So I don't expect him to start on Friday or Saturday. I think you'll see him play 20 to 25 minutes. If it's a close game and he's having a good game, maybe at 30 to start with. You know, he's been working out. He's in shape, but he doesn't necessarily have the chemistry with a lot of these guys. He hasn't been practicing with them, you know, and I think that's going to be an important thing. Tim Frazier has been. He's been playing with that first unit. He understands where these guys like to get the ball. And as much as I ragged on him the other day in yesterday's podcast, he still has played well. He's still putting up good assist numbers and getting Anthony Davis the ball. And that's the key thing. So I think Holiday will start eventually, but he's going to come off the bench in the beginning. But you need to maximize his minutes right now, and you need to pair him with Anthony Davis on the court. So even if he subs in, I think he'll be the first guy off the bench. You know, he'll sub out when Davis subs out, and they'll both go back in together, even if he's not starting. That's going to be the big thing. Last season, he came off the bench for a while when he returned from injury. It was a bit interesting because the Pelicans were having rough starts without him, and that's why they really should have been putting him in the starting lineup to begin with, and I don't exactly know why they weren't in the first place, but he was coming off the bench. They were getting buried to start with, and it hurt them, and that's kind of been the case this year. You've heard Anthony Davis and Alvin Gentry talking a lot about how their bad first quarters have been setting the tone negatively for this team. They haven't been playing well. They need to come out with more energy in that. So I think you're, because of that, just because you're not starting Holiday, I think you'll see him sub in really early. And they might lead to, say, a three-guard lineup of him, Moore, and Frazier. Or you might see Solomon Hill getting some more minutes too. Maybe they come in together and you run a lineup of, say, after Frazier subs out right away, depending on how he's playing, you have Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Solomon Hill, who's been coming off the bench, Dante Cunningham, and Anthony Davis, which is kind of probably going to be your closing five guys. And they're going to get some minutes early on, maybe around the 10-minute mark in the first quarter, potentially earlier, depending on how it's going. They're going to need to keep, you know, Holiday coming off the bench in the right minutes rotations, the right time of games. You don't want to sub him in too early. Then all of a sudden he's gone over your minutes restriction and you don't really want to play him at the end of, say, the first half or the end of the fourth quarter because he's gone over that. I think they'll be pretty strict with this just till his conditioning's up, till he looks more comfortable in this offense. But like I said, the big thing is just going to be making sure he's playing with Davis. You don't want him playing with the second unit. There's no need for that. You don't need him running those second guys, third guys. He's got to be with Davis. And the main thing is Davis just can't keep this usage rate up that he's got going on this season. It's well above his career high. And last season, when Davis and Holiday were on the court together, Davis, his effective field goal percentage jumped from 46.8% when Holiday was off the court to 54.6% when Holiday was on. Imagine what Davis is going to be able to do with those type of numbers. His efficiency is through the roof. I wrote about it on bourbonstreetshots.com yesterday. He's playing so incredibly well offensively, and that's with basically zero help. Now he's going to get some help, an actual threat. Teams can't triple team him anymore when Holiday's back in there. They'll still double team him, absolutely. But with Holiday being the threat that he is, you can't put three defenders on Davis and expect it to go well and that someone else won't be able to score. So that's really going to be the big thing. I'm excited to see a lineup of Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Hill, Davis, and maybe Terrence Jones as that fifth guy, the front court mate with Anthony Davis. It gives you a bench unit of, until Evans comes back, of Frazier, Buddy Hield, Terrence Jones, Dante Cunningham, Omer Asik, something along those lines, depending. Maybe Cheick Diallo comes back at a certain point when they realize maybe he's going to be a better fit than Alexi Ajinsa is. And it's going to be pretty nice. You know, it just causes more pieces to fall into place. You've seen recently that Tim Frazier just hasn't been starting caliber for the Pelicans. He had a great start to the year, the first five games or so. Then in the last five, he's played pretty rough. He had that big steal the other night against the Boston Celtics and kind of redeemed himself, but he missed a clutch free throw before he missed the one on purpose. He's had some bad plays. He's not a threat from outside. He's not a threat to shoot from three. Teams aren't respecting it, and he's taking so few a game, and he's not making them, that they're just willing to leave him open from there. They go when Anthony Davis sets a screen for him, teams aren't going above the screen to try and chase down Tim Frazier on the perimeter. They're sagging off and going underneath the screen, giving them a cushion so that if he tries to drive to the rim, they can contain him and force him to at least like take a longer path to the basket or get a turnover and force him to pass. And it's been very ineffective. The Pelicans' pick and roll game has suffered because of this. With Holiday in there, teams can't go underneath. He can shoot from three. He's much more consistent than Tim Frazier is. He's a better attacker. And he's a smarter player overall. If you go underneath the screen, he can burn you other ways. He'll try and get the ball to Anthony Davis. The Pelicans haven't been running a ton of pick and roll to start this year, much less than they had last year and the year before that under Monty. And it's kind of been surprising. Right now, it's a lot more isolations with Anthony Davis. When Holiday comes back, that pick and roll game picks up. It creates easier shots for other people. You can have players cutting around, trying to get the ball on the baseline underneath the basket more so than you have right now, and it's really going to help. Think about the end of the Boston Celtics game, where it was Anthony Davis ISO after Anthony Davis ISO, and they had three empty trips with Anthony Davis forcing bad shots. Just because he doesn't trust his teammates enough to get the ball to him, he'd rather do it himself and risk missing than giving a slightly better look to one of his teammates because they've been atrocious offensively. Now with Holiday back, you can at least run set plays and give those guys higher quality looks than passing to him for a wide open spot up shot that they're probably going to miss because there's not tremendous shooting on this team. It's going to make Solomon Hill's life easier. I'm curious to see if his offense picks up. You know, they signed him to that huge contract and he hasn't played well, and this could really help him. So overall, this just puts more pieces into place. I'm excited to see Frazier playing against backups as opposed to starters. I think that's a better fit for him. It's just going to be easier for him to handle, you know, rather than playing against potential all-star players. Can you imagine if they had played the Thunder and you had Tim Frazier trying to guard Russell Westbrook or Russell Westbrook playing defense on him? It would have been absolutely horrible. He would have been eaten alive. Here, you don't need to worry about that type of situation now. And I'm just excited for the Pelicans to get back to a pick-and-roll game with spot-up shooters like Solomon Hill, who can also cut to the basket with another spot-up shooter as Etwan Moore. It's just this offense is going to look a little bit better. This isn't going to be a fix-all for it. They're not all of a sudden going to jump from being bottom in the league to the top 10 or necessarily in the top half. But if they start to steadily improve here, I think you can kind of see where this Pelicans team was trying to build to and what Dell Demps' plan had in mind. He didn't sign the right guys, not at all. They have a bunch of role players, but now you're getting your other star back, and now you have two guys on the court that are, you know, threats and high usage guys, and who can carry a team versus just one, and it's just going to make everything easier for the Pelicans overall. Defensively, the Pelicans are going to improve as well. They've looked good on defense at times, though there's times where they've really struggled, and the main issue has been what it's always been. Perimeter defense, and that's not defending the perimeter and stopping shooters. They're actually doing a very good job of getting hands up, of contesting shots. It's been guys who can drive, and you saw it with the Boston Celtics with Isaiah Thomas. He scored 37 points. He only made three threes, so that's 9 points out of his 37. So 26 were coming attacking the basket and at the free throw line, and that's where the Pelicans have always struggled. Think about how Russell Westbrook's lit this team up, you know, multiple times a year for the past 3 or 4 years because they can't contain him. He can get to the rim at will. You saw it in the Boston Celtics game. You knew at the end of that game they were going to give the ball to Isaiah Thomas and he was going to drive to the hoop. And he did. And he scored. And it hasn't changed. That's still where the Pelicans need some help. All these points in the paint they're giving up aren't big men attacking the basket. It's been guards and, you know, perimeter players, swingmen, wings, attacking that way and driving. They struggle, you know, with that. Now you have Drew Holiday back, who's big enough, strong enough to defend multiple positions. He can press the point of attack on defense. He gets his long arms out in those passing lanes. You guys should have just seen how I acted this out in the seat where I'm recording. Almost fell off my chair. But, you know, think about him in that squat position with his arms out. He pokes those arms into these passing lanes, takes away angles from opposing point guards. They can't make passes like they want to anymore. It forces a lot of turnovers, which this Pelicans defense thrives on. You get this back now on defense. Now you're cutting off drives to the basket because he's a good enough defender to not get burnt right away. You're forcing turnovers, which is going to hopefully lead to some easy offense for the Pelicans. They certainly need it with those fast break points, with those transition points. and you're ending possessions for the opponent. Now they're not scoring, and all of a sudden the Pelicans have a chance to. It's a zero-sum game right here, you know, in this mindset, in this theory. And it works, and this is the key to unlocking this defense. Now you don't have guys driving where Anthony Davis is slow to rotate over and defend the paint and defend the rim, meaning that someone else has to rotate over. A guy like Solomon Hill, Omer Asik, Dante Cunningham, and they're forced to foul because they're out of position because Anthony Davis didn't get there in time. This isn't going to fix it all again overnight, but this is certainly going to cut down on a lot of these mistakes, and that's going to help the Pelicans win some games. They still are in the Western Conference. Their schedule's brutal, and it's going to be tough, especially in the first two games back against Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, and then the next night on a back-to-back with very little rest, you got to play Kemba Walker, who's playing incredibly well for the Charlotte Hornets. It's going to be a rough couple of matchups for Jrue Holiday, but I can't think of a better way to get back on the court, really feel like you belong and you're back, to face two very, very good point guards. I have Kemba Walker on my fantasy team. Mason Ginsberg, one of the writers and my good friend for Bourbon Street Shots, is in it too. I'm going to be rooting for him to get shut down so hard so the Pelicans can get this victory. I'm sacrificing, you know, money I've got in this league for you guys, for the Pelicans here is what I want to see. So, you know, tough matchups for Jrue Holiday, but he's going to improve this team. You guys might not see it for the first couple of games, and it's going to be rough. Those are two tough matchups. The Hornets have played particularly well this year. While Portland looks out of sorts at times, they're still a very good team, and they're going to be a playoff team in the Western Conference, obviously. So, tough matchups for him. You guys got to give him a little bit of time to ease back into this lineup. But Jrue Holiday returning, you know, not quite the cavalry coming over the hill to turn the tide of battle here, but it's going to show improvement. And at least maybe give some hope for the future with this New Orleans Pelicans franchise. So that's going to be it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget you can find Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, on iTunes, on Audioboom, any app you use. I personally use Stitcher. That's how I get all my podcasts. I listen to In the Know, the BourbonStreetShots.com podcast. I listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke, covering the league overall. I really like Nate Duncan's Dunked On Basketball podcast as well. And I also listen to, make sure, now that I've been going to more Saints games than I ever have, I'm listening to Locked On Saints. They are killing it on that podcast, giving me some great insight. They even get you covered with fantasy news on which Saints are going to play well. I know you, if you're a Saints fan, you want to start the Saints on your fantasy team. They tell you which guys to do it, and so it's been absolutely wonderful to listen to so far. So no Magic preview for the game tonight. Haven't done enough research on them. We'll recap that game when it happens tonight. Pelicans should have a good chance. I think you're going to see a little bit more of Omer Asik with them having Serge Ibaka. That's not a matchup you really want Anthony Davis or Terrence Jones defending, but it's going to be a winnable game. Going to need a good, solid game from Tim Frazier. I like Elfrid Payton, and you got to really shut down scores like Evan Fournier for that team. If they can do that, the Pelicans have a good chance of winning. There's not a ton of talent there. Vucevic is a good offensive player, but he's not great defensively. At times, he shoots really, really badly. He hasn't been shooting well this season for him at all. So when he steps in, I'm not as worried about him tearing up the Pelicans as I would be necessarily in years past. So it's going to be a winnable game. Quick note before we go, Cheick Diallo, the Pelicans' second-round pick, has been in the D-League in his second game for the Austin Spurs. He put up 16 points on 8 of 11 shooting, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 fouls in only 26 minutes. 2 fouls is really good. The Pelicans really need some bigs who aren't going to foul. It's nice to see him getting some minutes. He wasn't going to get that kind of playing time on this roster, even if he took Alexi Ajinsa's 6 minutes a game. You'd rather just have him play. He's a very raw prospect. Let him play. Let him figure out some rookie mistakes. So it's nice to see him getting some minutes in the D League. I think they'll keep him there for a while before maybe bringing him back in the second half of the year, especially if they're out of playoff contention. They can then throw him into the lineup, let him play against NBA talent and figure some things out. But it's nice to see him doing well. So like I said, that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans today. I'm Jake Madison, your host. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.